Here we go. I'm here. I've been so nervous, you guys. I'm scared to death. So thank you for all your prayers. I really believe that God, this is a word from God. I really do. I have the confidence to say that. Maybe it was just for me. He's just done an amazing work in me just in preparing for this. So I just really believe that it's for everybody that's under the sound of my voice, because I know what it did in me. And I know that if we can just take away one thing from it, it can be life-changing. So how many of you have just loved this curriculum? Oh my gosh. This is like, if this is your first time, don't worry. You're not behind. You can just jump right in. We've been going over Pastor Carrie. Oh, by the way, I just need to thank Pastor Carrie. I just am so honored that she would let me be a part of this. You guys, we are under incredible leadership. I hope you know, our pastors, they're in Hillsong, Australia this week. So that's why Pastor Carrie couldn't be here, but she will be back next week. She's so excited. Next week is our last sisterhood for this semester, so you have to come. Pastor Carrie's going to summarize everything that we've learned in this study, and she just would love for you to be here, but keep them in prayer this week. They're in Hillsong, and this is a very big deal. Our pastors are sought after globally, you guys. They would never brag on themselves, but they are the bomb diggity. We are under good leadership in this house. So the fact that I even get to sit up here, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. But anyway, so I want to tell you just a little bit about myself, because I'm very much a behind-the-scenes person. I guess my title on the staff is church administrator. So that's really like operations, like facilities, accounting, administration. It is not me running the church. My team is unbelievable. They're all in here. I'm like, you guys have to be in here and amen me. Even if it's bad, just amen me. But they're just amazing. So I'm very much behind the scenes. And so being up here makes me really uncomfortable. But how many of you know sometimes you just have to do things afraid? Like our whole theme for Shine is fearless. And for me today, fearless is just doing it afraid, doing it terrified. So if you haven't registered for Shine, register for Shine. So anyways, okay, so we're in a study called The House That Wisdom. Oh, wait, I have to tell you about myself. Can you put up my picture of my kids? I have to show my kids off. They're somewhere. They're coming. I'm married to Tarek Stewart, who's really, really cute. And, there's my boys. Oh, gosh, those cheeks. So that's Jediah, that's Jordan. Pastor Carrie told me if I showed a picture of them, I would feel better, and I do already. So Jediah's 3, Jordan's 9 months. We were hunting moose and bear in the garage this morning. So they're so much fun. So those are my kids. I'm married to Tarek. A lot of you guys know him. He's the one with the really long dreads, Caribbean accent, really cute, Trinidad, really dark. I call him well done. He's well done. So anyway, he's awesome. He's so supportive. My family's awesome. So, okay, let's pray. Let's just go ahead and pray before we start. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here today. God, I really believe that the word that you've given me is for every person under the sound of my voice, Lord. And I just thank you, God, that you love us so much, God, that you love us so much that you will never let us settle for anything less than your very best. So I just pray you would speak to our hearts, God. We humble ourselves before you. Empty us of ourselves, God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we'll receive today what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Okay, so The House That Wisdom Built. This is the curriculum we're doing, and so far we've talked about temperance, humility, stewardship, generosity, diligence. Pastor Carrie spoke on relationships last week, and today we're going to talk about integrity. And the scripture verse that kind of is the foundation of this whole curriculum is Proverbs 24:3, and it says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. By knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and precious riches." And so in this context, like when it refers to a house, it's really not talking about like a physical structure. I mean, I guess it can. You know, sometimes you'll hear us talk about the house of God and we'll refer to the church as the house. But what this is also referring to in this context is really a strong life, a legacy, a family. And you know, that's really what all of us hope to build while we're here on earth. So this whole study has really been just about 7 different pillars that we've dug in deeper to really help us build this strong house that we all desire to build. So today we're going to dig into integrity. So it's in page 52. I think it's page 52 of your notes if you have it. And what I wanted to make sure and just lay the context for and the foundation for is that all of these things, wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. And so when you hear the fear of the Lord, I remember I used to think like, are you supposed to be afraid of God? Like, that doesn't really make sense. But it's really not that. What it is like this reverential awe, like this awe of God, like just understanding that everything, no matter how many great curriculums we have, no matter how many great sisterhoods and shines, and gosh, we have awesome messages on the weekend, what it really starts with is your relationship with Christ. Like, that is the foundation, and it's diligently seeking him and getting to know him more and shoring up those things in your life that are not in alignment. That's really the foundation. If we can just get that right, like, everything else is good, right? So I just want to kind of lay that context that everything starts there first. And as we go into integrity, I don't know what you guys think about, but I'm a CPA by trade. So prior to coming on staff at the church, I was in public accounting. So when I first would hear integrity, I would think of like ethics, like a code of ethics. Like, CPAs have this code of ethics that they have to follow. So words like independence or objectivity or arm's length transaction. But the truth is that integrity, and this is your first fill in the blank, integrity simply means wholeness. Integrity simply means wholeness. So when we think of wholeness, it's really what you believe lines up with what you do, which lines up with what you say. So integrity simply means wholeness, and wholeness is what you believe lines up with what you do, which lines up with what you say. So no matter where you're at, you're the same person. There's not a church side of you. There's not a home side of you. There's not a work side of you. You're not different with this group of friends than you are with this group of friends. It's the state of being undivided, not double-minded. So I felt like I could give you an example of what integrity is not from my own personal life, just to kind of help you see the difference in what I'm trying to explain here. So I actually got saved, a little bit of my story. I got saved at Celebration Church. So this is my church through and through. Pastor Stovall, Pastor Carrie are my spiritual mother and father. You cut me, I bleed Celebration Church. I love this church. And I got saved back in Jacksonville Country Day School. So we were really small then. Yes, there's several people in here that were there then. And I was, you know, when you first get saved, you are a new creation in Christ, like, immediately, but your lifestyle doesn't necessarily reflect that immediately. Like, that can take a little bit of a process. So, Pastor Stovall, you know, he's like, we just need everybody to serve. Like, there was no such thing as a background check. Like, I don't think there was a background check. Pastor's like, if you can breathe, you can move, we need you to serve. So I was like, awesome. He's like, that's God's plan for your life. I was like, oh, good, I need God's plan. I'm serving. And so I knew that I was not holy, like, I was so not holy, but I knew I was a hard worker. I had good work ethic. So I joined the setup and tear down team, and then I joined the preschool and nursery because I knew that I was good taking care of kids. So those were the teams that I joined. And so I was so fired up. I got saved, but then Monday came. And Tuesday came. And then by Friday and Saturday, yeah, I was still hanging out with the same friends. I was going to the club, having a good time. And so, you know, I would be at the, I mean, you know, 2-3 drinks later, I was like sharing the gospel. I was like, you guys, God has done this amazing work in my life. Like, you've got to be a part of this. Like, it's so amazing. And, you know, for that, like, I lacked integrity. Like, that was really lacking integrity. But really, what I really believed, it was true. Like, what I believed and what I was saying was really true, but my actions weren't aligning with that. And then, so I lacked integrity with those friends, so they couldn't trust what I was saying. Same hold true for the church side, right? I'm sure my leaders, they had to know that I wasn't up all night praying. I mean, they just had to know. Like, I'd get home, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I don't know if they still allow you to smoke in clubs. I didn't smoke, but if you ever went to clubs back in the day, you would leave just reeking of smoke, like, in your hair. So, you know, sometimes I didn't have time to take a shower because I was going to be on time for setup at 6 a.m. So I'm just so thankful for the leaders because they were just so loving, and they just loved me through it. But, you know, I mean, honestly, I know that I lacked integrity with them. I mean, I lacked integrity. So don't feel condemned if that's in you here today. I mean, you know, it's a process. You get saved, you got to figure this thing out and walk it out. So please don't feel condemned if that's you. That totally happened with me. I'm just sharing that because I felt like it was a good example in my life of where what I really believed I was trying to walk out, but I lacked integrity, so they couldn't rely on me. They couldn't trust that. And I felt like that was a good example of that. So the next fill in the blank, thank you. It's synonymous, integrity. We're still trying to define integrity. It's synonymous with words like character, honesty, faithfulness, and excellence. Character, honesty, faithfulness, and excellence. Integrity is not immediate, but must be proven over time. So integrity, I kind of mentioned this before, integrity is closely aligned with trust. And you guys know, without trust in any relationship, that relationship will be dysfunctional. So it's earned, it's proven over time. It can't just be given. You can't make one good decision and all of a sudden you're a person of integrity. But what's really important to point out is the opposite of integrity. Like, you can lose integrity with one bad choice, with one bad decision. So it can take you a long time to earn it, but you can lose it with one bad choice. So something maybe like, you know, maybe you're just, you start to gossip about a girlfriend. You're with one girlfriend, you've just had enough, you're in that situation, and you just start to talk about your other girlfriend. Immediately, even if you really are a person of integrity, the person that you're talking to, they're thinking, well, if she shares that about her, I can only imagine what she says about me when I'm not there. Like, you lose integrity. You know, it could be something like just calling in sick. You didn't want to tell your boss, hey, I just need a day. I just need some downtime. I'm dealing with some stuff. I just need a day. So you call in sick, best of intentions. You have sick days, but you don't tell the truth. You run into your boss at the town center. You've lost integrity with your boss. You know, it really can happen that fast. Like, you can be an honest, upright person, and you can lose it that fast. So it's really important that you keep that in mind. So I just wanted to, I felt like the life of Joseph is just an incredible example of what a life of integrity looks like. Many of you are familiar with that story, and I just felt like we could kind of dig into moments in his life and kind of give us a little bit more definition of what we're looking for when we talk about integrity. But most of you are familiar. Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons. He was the favorite, the very favorite. So all of his brothers hated him. They hated him so much that they plotted to kill him. And instead of killing him, because the loving brothers that they were, they just decided they sold them into slavery. So they sold them into slavery. Joseph ends up going from that point in his life to becoming the ruler over all of Egypt. And did I say Jacob? I meant Joseph. He ends up being the ruler over all of Egypt. And so how many of you know that along that path and in his life, there were many moments that he had to make decisions and be a man of integrity and able to get from slave to ruler over Egypt? So the first glimpse in his life is the first point that I want to talk about in this section. And it says, integrity is tested and proven when no one is looking. It's tested and proven when no one is looking. So Joseph gets sold into slavery, and he gets purchased by a man named Potiphar. Potiphar is the captain of Pharaoh's royal guard, so he's really high up, high-ranking official. So he purchases Joseph, and Joseph is a really hard worker. He's really talented, but most importantly, he has God. So Potiphar begins to experience the benefits of being around someone with God. Like, he just has favor. He starts to become blessed. So he puts Joseph in charge of his whole household, his entire household. He's off doing whatever royal guards do, royal guard business. And in the meantime, so really Joseph is living like the best life a slave could ever live. He's in charge of everything, of everyone. Well, in that time frame, Potiphar's wife begins to throw herself at Joseph. And, you know, I'm sure Joseph knew no one was really looking when she did this. It's like the ultimate lunge. If you've ever heard Pastor Stovall speak, I'm sure you've heard about the lunge. So she's throwing herself at him. He's in charge, you know. He might be thinking, I mean, just be real. He's only human. He's only a man. He's in charge. Potiphar's probably nowhere to be found. Obviously, his wife's not faithful. She doesn't have integrity. So she probably wouldn't tell anybody. He might even go to the point of thinking, well, God, I know you placed me here. Like, I know that I'm being able to share the gospel. I know I'm ministering to this group of people. Like, I know you. I know if I don't do this, if I don't give in to her, what if they make me leave? Like, I know you. I really believe that you brought me here. You know, for some of us, that might be some of us single girls. Well, God, he's going to church now. At least he's going to church because I'm here. Like, I know you're using me in his life. You know, we really can start to justify that. It's really easy to do that. We've all been there, myself included. But Joseph, he's a man of integrity. And he knows that not to give into that is not in alignment with what he believes and what he knows. So he denies her. He makes that choice. It costs him everything. He knows it's going to cost him everything. But yet and still, he denies her. And so she gets angry, of course, and she accuses him of rape. So the point here is, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me catch up to myself. What I wrote here is it's passing these kinds of tests with consistency that builds this strong life. You have to pass them with consistency. So I'm just kind of pulling out some tests that Joseph passed, but he passed them time and time again, which leads me to my next point. Integrity is diligence when no one seems to notice or care. Integrity is diligence when no one seems to notice or care. So now here's Joseph. He's already been sold into slavery by his own family. Now he's been wrongly accused and he gets thrown in prison. If anybody probably had the right to be a victim at that point, it was probably Joseph, and he could have easily became the victim. He's in prison. Who's noticing or caring in prison? Like, it really doesn't get any worse than prison. But he doesn't, because he's a man of integrity. And he wholeheartedly believes that God is in control. God is his defender. God's going to take care of him. It's not man that controls his circumstances. It's not his circumstances that matter, but it's who he serves. And so he makes an integrous choice, and he aligns his behavior with that belief, and he begins to serve in prison. He begins to serve. He begins to build a relationship. No one's noticing. No one probably cares, but he does it anyway when no one is looking and no one cares. And it's through that, through the relationships and a series of various things that happen, he gained favor with the warden. The warden puts him in charge of everything. That ultimately ended up to him getting out and becoming the ruler over all of Egypt. And you know, when I was preparing for this, I really just wanted to thank some of you ladies. Many of you come every week. Some of you are in here, you're setting up for sisterhood. No one's noticing. No one's caring. A lot of you are serving. You're doing the bulletin shells. You're in a room. You're doing thousands after thousands after thousands. Then someone comes in and says, oh no, we can't do that this week. Pastor has a word from God. We got to stick this in the bulletins. You need to go undo those other 3,000, right? You've been there. You've been there. You're recycling the old ones because you know we're a church that values stewardship. You know, they're peeling off the gum. Ugh, they're disgusting. And, you know, but you're doing that. You know, you could easily have an attitude to say, gosh, Pastor Stovall and Pastor Carey don't even know I'm doing this. Like, do they even care? Like, the people in the seats, they're so disrespectful. Like, they don't even know the time that it took and the diligence that it took to stuff these and go through these. But you don't, because you know that you serve an audience of one. You're serving because you know that that pushes the kingdom forward, and it doesn't matter who's noticing and who cares. And that's really what matters at the end of the day, and that's integrity. That's integrity. So I just want to give a shout out to you guys and just thank you for that. So last but not least in this section, the last fill in the blank here is integrity in private is rewarded by God in public. Integrity in private is rewarded by God in public. So eventually, Joseph was promoted over all of Egypt under Pharaoh. So he starts off a slave, and he ends up being the ruler over Egypt. God ends up restoring his family. He's able to help them in a time of famine. It's just nothing but a God story, and only God could have done that. But it's not an accident. It's not. It's because he made integrous choices consistently in his life. Now, he wasn't perfect. It's really important that you get that. He wasn't perfect. But once he knew, just like David, he committed murder. He committed adultery. But it's not about being perfect. It's about taking responsibility for what you've done, making things right, repenting if that's what it takes, and moving forward in the way that you know God would want you to move forward, right? Amen. Okay. So I forgot to tell you I was going to skip around a little bit. But now I'm going back to benefits of integrity. Just going to mention a few here. There's a lot of benefits to integrity. But the first one I want to point out, and all of these are from Proverbs, is security. Out of Proverbs 10:9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Psalm 25:21. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. We can't have hope in anything else. We've learned that, not in man. Dana and I were talking about this before. Not in humans, not in money, not in jobs, not in friendships. It's only from God, and our security is only going to come from that. The next benefit here is guidance. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. not take them off the wrong path, not hurt them a little bit, not frustrate them, but we'll destroy them. Duplicity will destroy us. It will destroy us. In Revelation, Revelation 3:16 says, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." When we live a life, it's not that we don't have seasons. And I gave you my example before when I first got saved. So, you know the heart that I'm saying this with. But we cannot build this house with wisdom and this strong life, you guys, if we live in duplicity. We just can't. It will destroy us. It will. And, something I was thinking of this week, just kind of a little bit of a lighter example. I'm mentoring this girl. She's 18. She's about to go to college. She has a boyfriend. They're talking about marriage. You know, it's a real life change for her. And she's struggling with a lot of big decisions. And so she's really doing good. She's putting God first. I'm so proud of her. And she prayed and she felt like her and her boyfriend were supposed to go to the same school. You know, they were going to build a relationship. It's a Christian college. Her parents were good with it. And all of a sudden, her parents come to her and say, "We don't think this is a good idea. We don't want you to do this. We're not for it. And we're not going to be in support of that." And she came and she was crying and she's like, "I don't understand, you know, I really prayed. I really thought this was God." You know, how many times have you been in that position? "I really thought this was God. Like, I really was sincere in this and I thought this was God." And you know, on the point here of guidance, what I pointed her to is I said, you know, what we know for sure is that the word says, honor your mother and your father. That doesn't mean that you're going to do everything they say exactly the way they say it for the rest of your life. Like, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to make your own decisions. Sometimes it may not be in complete alignment with what they think. But if you will line up your decision with the word that you know you're still under your parents' care, they're paying for your college, they have the best interest, then God will change their hearts if it's not him. God, you've now allowed God to be in control of the situation. Look, if you're meant to marry this guy, nobody can stop that. Like, God has that ordained. And so it will give you guidance to line up your choices with integrity, and it's just lining it up with the word. There's security, guidance, and then the last point is true happiness and peace. Out of Proverbs 19:1, better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and a fool. Gosh, that's a good one. Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and a fool. And for those of you that have been following God any amount of time, you know what that true happiness is, that peace. The Bible describes it as a peace that surpasses all understanding. You can be going through the hardest time of your life. You can be experiencing the worst loss. You can be going through, but you have a peace. It doesn't mean that everything's perfect. It doesn't mean that you're like, "Oh, yay, I'm so glad this is happening in my life." But you have this peace that God's got this. Everything's going to be okay. And so that's just a huge benefit that you can only get from living an integrous life. So, okay, so here's the hardest part. Why is it so difficult to have integrity? Our hearts are easily tricked. Our hearts are easily tricked. We need the Lord's conviction to see rightly. Jeremiah 17:9-10. I pulled this one out of the Message version. "The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be." So often, a lot of times in the world, and just even me growing up, you know, you'll hear, "Follow your heart, follow your heart." But that's not what the word says. The word says your heart is easily tricked. Line your decisions with the word. You can't go wrong from there. Next, fill in the blank. It takes a certain level of self-sacrifice to have complete integrity. So the fill in the blank is sacrifice. It takes a certain level of self-sacrifice to have complete integrity. You can read Psalm 15. I'm not going to read the whole thing just for the sake of time. But what you really need to pull out of here is usually integrity. More often than not, it's not the easy choice. It's actually usually the hardest choice. Like Joseph, he knew it was going to cost him everything. And usually when those real tests come, that's what it is. It could possibly cost you everything. It's not going to be kind of okay. Like, it's all or none. And it takes a certain level of sacrifice to do that. The last point here that I'm going to close with is often we lack the courage to truly examine ourselves in the light of God's word. Often we lack the courage to truly examine ourselves in the light of God's word. James 1, 22 through 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Such a good verse. So, recently, just in preparing for this message, and I know that it's no accident, but this courage thing, this is a really big deal. And I love how the theme for Shine is fearless, because so often so many things just take courage. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're not being courageous in something. I mean, I knew that being up here was going to take all the courage I had. But there are things in our life that we don't even realize, you know, that we've just kind of brushed off, or we've kind of just set them aside and said, oh, it's not a big deal. And so as I was preparing for this message, one of those things came to my mind, and I just felt like God revealed it in my heart. I really felt like, as I examined my heart, because I just wanted to speak from a place of authority and transparency, and I really asked God to examine my heart and show me if there were any places in my life that I was not being integrous, because I always want to be everything that God wants me to be. I don't want to be the lid on myself to be the, you know, achieve the full potential that he has for me. And I think so often, you know, we can look at like a Pastor Mercy or a Liz Hyman or Pastor Carrie or Pastor Stovall, and we're like, oh my gosh, they're so amazing. Like, wow, look what God's doing in their life. Look at Celebration Church. Oh my gosh. But you guys know, we're part of that. Like, it's going to take each of us. Like, God is really, you guys, we're going, I really believe this with all my heart. Like, we are going to a new season. We are going to that next level. What got us to where we are today is not going to take us to where we're going. So we have got to examine ourselves. It is worth it. It is so hard, and it's going to take so much courage, but it's worth it. Amen. We can clap for that. That's right. So I did that. I did that. And go back to my story a little bit, when I was 15, my parents were married for 22 years. And when I was 15, they got a divorce. And it was just such a hard time in my life. I wasn't involved in a church. I didn't know God. So I just didn't have the support structure, I guess. So, you know, we're just designed that if we don't, God has made us to have that void in our hearts that only he can fill. And if we don't fill it with him, we just turn to other things. It might be food. It might be work. It might be men. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. Whatever it is, we just try to fill it. And so that's what I did. And I became bulimic. I had an eating disorder. And, you know, I just kind of brushed off. I'm like, oh, I'm not one of those girls that like eats an apple and throws up. Like, that's, I'm sorry if I'm getting a little vulgar. I'm just being real. These, you guys are my girls. I can be real in this room. And, but you know, it was like, when I would get really depressed or just overwhelmed, I would just like eat a dozen donuts. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't keep these donuts down. You know, like, this will be terrible. But so when I came to know the Lord, like, God healed me of that. Like, it was awesome. He healed me of that. I didn't struggle with it for years. Like, I didn't even think about it. And then recently, just a couple of times recently, when the pressure was really on and things were really tough, like, I started getting this temptation. And I just brushed it off. I'm like, oh gosh, God already healed me of that. Like, that's, I'm overcome. Like, what is that? Why is that popping up its ugly head? And what God showed me, like, just recently, like, I'm just kind of summed all together. Number one, like I told you earlier, I know when God takes us to the next level, there's a testing period. And so if you're going through some tests like that right now, be encouraged, because God is taking you to the next level. He really is. He has to. The only way we're going to get there is through that testing period. And so so I was mad that temptation was coming up, but I was encouraged that I was remembered, yep, God, I know you're taking me to the next level. I'm going to pass this test. And what I realized, where I felt like I was lacking integrity, you know, I'm huge on accountability. I'm huge on it. I believe with all my heart what the word says. Anytime anything's in darkness, it has power. It has control. The minute it's brought into the light, it loses all its power. So I'm big on that. I believe that. But I realized that I didn't have any accountability in this area. So here I have this temptation that's been coming up, and I'm keeping it to myself. You know, I'm praying. I'm like, God, I know you got this, but I'm really not bringing accountability. I'm not shining light on it. And so it could easily, I know, I've served God long enough that I know that it's just one bad decision. I'm only human. It's one decision away from falling back into temptation or that stronghold. And so I got accountability. Well, obviously now I have a lot of accountability. But I went to a trusted friend and I said, you know, I know that I can't lie to you. Like, you're just a person that I know I can never lie to. And so I just need you to ask me about this periodically. I just need some accountability. I refuse to let this thing take control of my life. And, you know, so for some of you, it might just be like being honest with a friend. It might be like you might have a girlfriend that maybe you just haven't been like really authentic. Like, you've just lacked a little bit of courage to just be real with her in love and in truth. You know, it might be something a little bit heavier. You might be in an adulterous relationship. You might be struggling in your marriage, and you've just turned to another person to fill that void in you. But you know what the good news is? It doesn't matter what it is. Because just like David, the God we serve, you guys, it's just immediate, like, understanding that, repenting for it, taking responsibility for it, and moving on. Like, God will do it just like that. He has the power to do that if we'll just make that integrous decision. And you know, it's not about us. It's never just about us. It's always about so many others. Like, I know when I was first serving, I didn't say that. Angelica's here. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. But I told you that I served in the preschool and nursery. That was one of my places I served when I first got saved at Jacksonville Country Day School. And I remember serving in Todd and Angelica. Don't worry, they didn't just put me with the kids, like, hungover. It was good. I had good, strong, holy leaders. I had good, strong, holy leaders in the room, and I was just there to assist. So Angelica and Todd served together. Todd is Angelica's husband, and I remember watching them interact, and I remember looking at their marriage, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is so fake. There is no way he loves her. I did. I really thought that. I was like, there is no way that he loves her like that. I know men. I've seen men my whole life. Every marriage I've ever seen, they are evil. Men are evil. Like, you just, you keep that boundary. You only let them in so far. Men are just evil. They are not for you. You have to look out for yourself. And gosh, every Sunday I would see it. I was like, this is not fake. This is for real. And you know, I didn't know the word. I didn't know much. Every weekend I was getting saved because I didn't understand. Like, I'd go out and party, then I'd get saved again. Like, I got saved like 10 times. It was awesome. Encounter with God. But you know what I saw? I said, if that life, if their marriage is a strong life, if that's the life that God has for me, I want that. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything, but I want that. I don't know how to get there. And you know, that's what this whole study is all about, ladies. Like, you don't know. People are looking at your life, and it doesn't have to be perfect. You might be going through a tough season. You might be going through a divorce. You might be going, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It's how you walk it out. It's how you make those decisions with integrity. That's what matters. Because the world is lacking that. People aren't living like that. They are not making that. So when you will stand out in the world. You will stand out so quick. And they need to know, if I wouldn't have seen like Angelica, if I didn't see Pastor Carrie, if I didn't see Mercy, oh my gosh, so many of you in this room I'm looking at. I told Miss Debbie Turner today, if I did not think that that strong life was possible, like, I wouldn't have the courage. I just wouldn't even try. So you guys, it is possible, and God has that for you. And he has it for all those girls that are looking at your life, all the people that are looking at your life. You not only need to do it for you, but you need to do that for everybody that's looking. Amen? Amen. Okay, so I don't know. Let me see what I have here. I'll just finish by saying this. I wrote down in my notes, focus on God's ability. It's not about your ability. It's not about your lack. You focus on his ability. You know, we can sit in these messages and we can, I know me, I've sat in the temperance and all these different ones. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to work on that. Oh my gosh, Lord, please forgive me. Oh, I'm such a loser. Like, I can quickly go to that condemnation. That's not God, you guys. If you hear that, that's not the voice of God. You know what God's saying? I love you. I love you. I'm just pointing this out. Just like for me in my situation, he was just saying, honey, I'm not going to let this get back in your life. You just need some accountability here. It's just that little. It's just because he loves us. And you know what? He loves us so much. Even when we're willing to settle, even when we're willing to kind of brush it off and say, but God, look how far I've come. Like, I'm doing so good. I'm serving. My marriage is good right now. I'm being a good mom. No, God says, no, I have the best for you. You are not going to settle for anything than the very best, the abundant life that I died on the cross for you to have. Amen. We can clap. And so just focus on his ability, you guys. Don't look at your lack. It's through him. It's when in our weakness, he is strong. So just focus on that. Focus on how much he loves you. You're in a sisterhood of women that are for you, that love you, that are here. There's nothing you can say to this group of women that they are not going to love you through. So I just want you to be free in that. I just don't want you to feel condemned in the stuff that we've talked about today. Like I'm talking to you right where you're at. I'm just an ordinary girl. You guys know I'm just like you. I like to be out in those seats, taking notes and amening. So I really believe that the word that God put on my heart today was because he wanted you to see that even me and an ordinary girl, you know, we could just relate on that fact. So thank you for listening. I'll close this in prayer and then we'll get into table time, okay? Father God, I thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you love us, God. You love us so much. You are so for us. There is nothing that is too big for you, God, and there is nothing so small that you don't care about. So God, we just sense your presence in this room. I feel you, God, and I thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, that you're doing an amazing work in us. God, you're doing it because you're taking us to the next level, and even though it might hurt and the tests are there and it's a little bit painful, God, we push through. We have the courage, God. We do it afraid when we're not fearless, God, and we trust you every step of the way. We love you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.